The following programming is sponsored by Polish American Radio. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Peasley Media Group.
Power
within the store
15 to 20 million.
Jump out there.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leader.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM Radio, which serves Philadelphia, Southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and Northern Delaware. And as always, I'm asking for you to contact family members and friends and invite them to tune in, because we are going to have a very interesting broadcast today. And we have a lot of things to talk about, a lot of good things happening in the United States of America. And I want to make sure that nothing but good happens to the United States of America during this campaign and at all times in the future. Our panel members are Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America Store. And I want you to know that the Made in America Store link is right there on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. No matter where you live in the USA, you can click on there, make your purchase, and Mark will make sure that it's shipped right to your door. This is the best way to do business. But most important is that Mark Andel's products are 100% American made. Also, always helping us is Larkin Conley, who is a national small business advocate, Bruce Bassett Powell, a SCORE associate, and our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky, and I'm Michael Blihash. Thank you for tuning in and spreading the word about all the good things that are happening. And as always, if you have something to say, send me an email to michael@AmericanWorkersRadio.com. That's michael@AmericanWorkersRadio.com. And I'll be pleased to include your suggestions in my weekly commentaries and also during our weekly broadcasts. Well, ladies and gentlemen, yesterday, September the 17th, we marked National Constitution Day here in the United States of America, and it's also known as Citizenship Day, which commemorated the signing of the United States Constitution back in September 17th, 1787. Now, Constitution Day was celebrated at the National Constitution Center here in Philadelphia and at many other places across the USA. And also on this day, we celebrate new citizens. And many new citizens were sworn in yesterday all over the United States and also at the National Constitution Center. And you remember seeing that in the news so unbelievably on Tuesday, September the 10th, when the presidential debate took place here in the city of Philadelphia at the National Constitution Day Center. So yesterday was a very special historic day in American history, and it was good to see so many people promoting America's Constitution. Well, as we said during our last broadcast, most people were disappointed with the debate between former President Trump and Vice President Harris. They thought it was not conducted properly. It was, a lot of time was wasted. The questions were not the way they should have been. And I think maybe we should talk about some of those things, not only now, but in the future. Believe it or not, the actual election day is only 48 days away. It sounds hard to believe, but it's 48 days away. And time moves very quickly. You know, the clock only goes in one direction. So as you're, saying, wow, it's only 48 days away. So we're going to just talk about some of those things today. And maybe we should do a little question and answer with Mark and Bruce today, because it's something that people have been getting after me for the last couple of weeks, especially since the Democratic convention and the Republican convention, and they really thought that they would see a lot more talked about during that time as well. So I just want to ask a very important question today. Start off with, it's been announced that interest rates are supposed to be going down, maybe 0.5%, 0.75%. And this morning when I was out for some coffee, one of the people that I know from my neighborhood said to me, did you hear about the interest rates going down? And I said, yeah, I heard about it this morning. I tuned into the Good Morning America. And he said, my question for you and your panel is, why were interest rates allowed to go up so quickly? Number one, when we work so hard to accomplish anything and everything that we do, why did people in government sit back and do nothing? Our elected people, seeing that our people were being hurt badly, everything that we purchased went up. Everything that you couldn't buy a house, it went up to 7%+ interest. They sat back and they didn't do anything. Mark, you're a man who's in business. Can you tell me why? And I want to know also, if there is anybody that you saw in the system trying to help American workers keep their jobs so that their companies could continue to employ them, did you see anybody speaking up about the interest rates continuing to go up? And what did you think as you saw them go up? Mark.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? I hope Larkin's on, Bruce is on, Henry, as always. Thanks for making us sound good. Mike, a lot going on, but a good opening and a great question. Interest rates, fuel interest rates, the economy, should be the number one topic by far because everybody's hurting right now. Interest rates, my line of credit for my business, and Larkin will lock in, Bruce, is 10% right now interest, very high. Even on my snowplows, I'm paying 9.75% interest on a PAS system, which is a pay-as-you-sell system. Very, very high. We had seen, my parents back in the day, if I would have said in 2000, they had 6.6% interest in 1969. I never thought I'd see that. But we've seen interest as low as 3-4%. And that was really helping the economy, the low fuel prices, the low interest. But now, even on 10%, if you lower it 0.5%, is it an earth mover? Is it going to, No, but why did it go up so much? Now, they'll say, hey, we tried to stop the inflation. We had to raise the interest. But, boy, did they kill the economy. I agree with you, Mike. I don't see where it had to go, especially coming out of COVID. Again, when you say, did anybody help me, the SBA, has always been me, there, and that's Larkin's blood kind of. The SBA was there originally to help the small business back in the banks, 80% on loans. They came up with, we had the PPP number one, PPP number two, we had the SBA EIDL loan. Then there was employee retention credit checks, which I'm having trouble with getting the third. I've been on pause with them for almost, it'll be 2 years waiting on a check from the government on the employee retention credit check, Mike, which is unbelievable because we were counting on it. So there's help. I would only lean towards the SBA's ever helped me still. And even in the COVID years, they came up with the SBA EIDL loan. And Larkin knows it was a mess. The government can't run a lot of these programs correctly. There was a lot of fraud. But interest rates is a driver of the home market right now. They had a great special on, I think it was 60 Minutes the other night, when, the average person, one out of six are going to be able to get a home. Their first home, their first house, and the average price was $250,000. The problem is the interest rates, and it's going down and down. A young couple they're not going to be able to get their starter home. And there's so many houses in need, but interest drives all that. I got people that build houses. June was very slow. July was very slow. It's funny to me, and we bring up if it's a Trump administration, and I hate to say, the Trump name, it's the administration we had, or if it's the Biden administration we had. And again, I say, 4 years ago, were you better off? Absolutely. Low interest rates, low fuel. The economy was booming. And a lot of that is because of the lower interest, Mike. And now, with Harris, no problem with her, but in the last 3.5-4 years, we've seen nothing. So I go by you know, who's proven. To me, Trump's administration was proven. Harris with Biden was not proven. Even though she was vice president, I don't think she was proven. So I don't like lip service. Now they're promising everything, which you know you ain't getting everything. So Mike, that's my that's kind of my take on it. You know, we're fighting a hell of a fight. I got a great team. We got a lot of buses coming in from all over the country and world, and it's kind of neat. So we got some positive, but we're still dealing with high inflation, high utilities, 30-40%. Not like it used to be. It used to only go up 2-3% a year. We could absorb that. Hard to cover utility rates right now that are going 30-40% up over the last 3-4 years. That's a ton, Mike. And it's hard to charge enough across your counter to cover them excessive expenses.
Yes, you know, Larkin said it a few weeks ago. There's been nobody monitoring what's going on in the country. It's true. Mark, has anyone ever asked you or anyone there in your area of New York, you know, how are they surviving with the growing interest rates and all that? Has anyone come by to you and ask you a question? It seems that there's no person in government looking out for the American people, America's businesses, and American workers. Has anyone ever contacted you?
This, you know, Erie County is our county, and a legislator, county legislator, Lindsay Larago, she came by, and she's asking the questions, and unfortunately, it's more of a D state than an R state. So that's why I don't love to see, you know, whoever wins this election, I hope they just sit back, we all shut up, and just let them run the country, because it hurts me in business. It hurts when they're fighting, because this lady did come by, Erie County legislator, and she listens to business people, but she can't get anything done because they just don't change. And you hear that, you know, we got a Senator Robert Ort, excellent, was military, trying to make change, or, you know, DiPietro. You know, there's some people that care, you know, as New York State Assemblyman is, you know, David DiPietro. They get it. They had business. But, again, in New York State, very hard because, it's you know, they're on the other side, if you would. And it's just hard to get things done. But I think common sense things, certain things that work, we got to keep making them work and then adjust. But we can't just shut off one side all the time, Mike. And that's what I see every election. We shut off one way, and even if it was working good, and go to the other way. We got to start working with keeping things that work and working together on keeping them and making them even better. And that would, boy, what a country it would be if you just kept improving what was good.
You know, another thing which I was interviewed, I don't know if you saw one of the articles Henry sent out to you that was in our paper in Philadelphia. About my discussions with the visit of Harris to Philadelphia. I had another gentleman that contacted me from the Associated Press and a few others, and they're only interested in getting commitments from people as to who they are going to support in the election. I said, well, let me be very honest. I have to hear from the people as to how they're going to support the people. How are they going to support our people here in the USA first and foremost? The questions at the debate were poorly done. I wish that all you, myself and others, could have looked at the questions first. Many of them, I would have put them if time is available. But some of the more important issues about what are we doing right now in this country, you know, every vote at this point, I will say this, in talking with people, every vote is going to have to be earned, and I mean earned. Voters need to be really energized by a candidate for one or many reasons. Number one is the economy, the cost of buying basic needs. Mark, you're in business. You know the cost of buying the items for your store. I tell people all the time when they say, I can't believe the prices. I said, you know what to do? Keep your receipts. When you went to the store, I said, get an envelope. Put them in there. Date. Just put a date. September of 22, you know, October of 22, whatever. Look at that and look at this, the product cost. And you will see you know, the difference and why there is no one trying to govern over us. The interest rates, I gave a comment on a radio station the other day, and I said, first of all, coming out of COVID, that's number one. Everybody seems to use the COVID as an excuse. Coming out of COVID is a time that the government leaders should have been very, very watchful not to turn over the ship at their, you know, leadership. Because coming out, they should have known doing something ridiculous by putting restrictions on drilling gas and Keystone Pipeline and all would have hurt everything in the United States, from heating your home to driving your car to do everything. But allowing the interest rates to go up was also a very foolish move, because didn't they think that this would hurt the businesses buying products? Didn't they think it's going to hurt the people from buying homes? I know we have developments right here in southeastern Pennsylvania where they've been sitting empty for 6, 8, 10 months waiting for people to come and buy. People, you know, and also, Mark, American workers are working hard to pay basic bills. How can you buy? Suppose you want to move to another house and your interest rate was 3%. Do you try to go for another house, which is up in cost, and then pay an interest rate of 7.5%? That doesn't make any sense. But there was no person in leadership in government, and I blame the Democrats and the Republicans in Washington for not speaking up. They should have banged down the doors of the White House to justify every issue. I would have. I don't understand why they pussyfoot around with a lot of this stuff. The cost of buying basic needs is hurting every person, a worker, a senior citizen, a person raising children to go to school. Everything went up. And yet, I don't hear much in Washington coming from these people. We got to stop this. You know, talking about, you know, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Show it to me in writing. When these people call me from these press and all, you know, it was on Friday the 13th, there was the article what I had spoken about. It was on page B7 of the Inquirer. If you go to Inquirer.com and just pick on the interview with Blihash and in the paper, Blihash-Harris, you'll see the article. And I said that people are workers. They want to work. They want to have stability. They want to have a future, not just be working and running in a circle, never getting off the merry-go-round. It didn't make any kind of sense. How about I ask Bruce? Now, Bruce has been a businessman in the United States. And Bruce, if you were coming to the United States and looking to open a business at this time, would you feel confident? Bruce.
Well, you're always confident in starting a business in the USA. That's a lot of time when people with the capital to do so come here. I started my first business in the US after I'd been here nearly 10 years. So, and things were looking good. I guess, you know, the Federal Reserve sets itself apart from the politics, and it raised its rates in 2022 to stem inflation and steer the economy clear of recession, which we didn't have a recession, so that may have worked. But I'm not sure. I got up late this morning. Did the Fed lower the rate today?
Well, they were supposed to, but most people, we had a small conversation outside of the coffee shop today, and people are saying, I am very disappointed. My business has been hurt. And they said this, yeah. And Bruce, you'll understand this. they said, I operate a business where it's a, you know, more of a discretionary type spending. And people are just not able to do it now. So what I sold, my business, not only sales has dropped, the price increased. So I'm not even taking in the money I would have taken in 2 or 3 years ago because the prices went up. The products are not moving off the shelf, and yet no one in Washington. Yes, it's true, they tried to stop inflation. But what really caused inflation in the United States, Bruce? What was the biggest push to that make inflation happen?
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Well, I will give an answer, and maybe you can tell me if that's correct. Fuel is what did it. Giving away, first of all, so much money during the prolonged COVID situation was number one. That caused a tremendous amount of debt in the United States.
It saved a lot of lives.
It saved lives, but there were so many things that were overdone. I work in human services, and I know how many things were rules and regulations that we didn't, most of the agencies couldn't obey because our people are in need every day and they need people to speak with. The government just, we had to stay on duty. Let's put it that way. We were on duty and we survived. A lot of the other agencies did not survive because people left, they went home, they worked from home. Next thing they found out that the agency didn't need all those people and they trimmed back. Some of those people were employed, and it was all because of inflation. Everything was inflation after the pandemic. There was really no leader that says, wait a minute, if we do this, if we have a flat tire, we can't ride 100 miles on a flat tire. We have to fix it. What was taking the country down? No one watched the inflation. Yes, inflation around the world went up, but not as bad as it did here in the United States. And Bruce, and Mark, to be quite honest, a lot of the people who import items, and I speak to business people, and I also often say to them, Mark, you'll understand this from dealing with business people, although you're 100% American made. Some people say, I don't want to be quoted, I don't want to come on anywhere because, Michael, right now my store has 70% of its items foreign made. When my parents owned the store, it was 10% foreign made stuff. We went way in the other direction. And if I came on and we are friends, people would say, oh, you're complaining. I didn't even know you had 70% foreign made in your store. And you're looking to get more American. It's just an issue that has never been resolved in this country. No political leader said, wait a minute, guys, we are allowing too many businesses, too many manufacturers to take their manufacturing overseas while our people are not employed, not having their own stability. None of that was on the top of the table. It was all little things. If you watch C-SPAN or whatever, it's not the kind of things that is for the basic well-being of the general American public. So, Bruce, what was the interest rate when you started your business?
I think it was like...
6 or 7 for starting a business. Today, many people, many of the banks want 10, 12%. Credit cards are 29%. I mean, when you go on the scale of what borrowing is, you can see why people have to cut back on everything. And the main reason is energy went up. The gas situation, everybody says, Michael, you know very well, it's the gas situation. Let's be real about this. The gas went up, takes more money to plant the food. It takes more money to harvest the food. It makes more money to deliver the food. It takes more money for me to get to work. This was not well managed. We need somebody that has management skills. And I say to them, what do you think about the candidates? And they say, I'm really depressed about the whole election. That's the words of the people. And remember my words today. Every vote will have to be earned big time. No candidate can take any idea that they're going to just win. Every Democrat is going to get a Democratic vote, every Republican. It's not going to happen that way. People are going to be going on the economy. Everything is focused on the economy. That's how I see things, because people have to take care of their family. Do you want to keep paying bills if you don't have to? I don't like it. And right now, Mark, if you go shopping at any of your stores in the area and you look at the labels, right now, America's economy is based on Americans spending their money to purchase products and services. Products and services. If 70% of our nation's economy represents the needs of Americans to buy everyday goods like clothing, household needs, electronics, and hundreds of others, now is the time for businesses in America to really focus 100% of their efforts on making those items. Maybe it will be a little bit more expensive, but at least get those competitive products on the shelves. That's where the problem is. There was some discussion from one of the candidates that they want to have 3 million new homes available. There's 7 million homes available right now for sale. You can look that up right now. 7 million homes for sale. So the situation is we have to start paying attention to common sense items. Mark, if I asked you, can you give a donation of $100,000 to a great cause, what would your answer be?
Absolutely not. I need every penny, every dollar for cash flow.
And you need it to keep
life.
Your people yeah. employed.
Yeah, Bruce, it's all can about the livelihoods.
That's right. Bruce, can I ask you for $100,000?
No, I wouldn't know where to find the first dollar, to be honest.
Well, this is when these people, I'm getting texts all day. This one needs your donation. That one needs your donation. You know, all this kind of stuff. Henry, can you give $100,000?
You can ask me to give it all you want. You're not going to get it.
Well, this is the problem. There's no reality. You know, when they get it on there, the big people are giving big money to candidates. But with that money, they should also be saying candidate A and candidate B, I want you to be focusing on this or that. Just giving the money carte blanche, a real bad idea. And by the way, manufacturing what Americans need and use on a regular basis, it was the cornerstone of America for 200 years. When America first started, people made things and sold each other and had farming, they ate food and made, you know, clothing and all. It was all circulated in America. Everything possible was made in America. It was not imported. Today, why America's elected officials sat back and didn't do anything for the last 35, 40 years. They're blaming every president. People tell me, I listen, talk to people of many ages, they say, Michael, it started with Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter allowed all this stuff. In fact, one person even gave me a better response. They said it started with Richard Nixon and whatever he did with, China. It started way back then, and it just became the thing to do. And everybody from foreign countries said, well, just give us 5 or 10. I mentioned that a few weeks ago. And now when it's 70, 80, 90% of the products, Mark, that's no good. That's absolutely no good. Now, your people are working hard. They're paying more to make those products 100% made in America. What are they having to say to you?
You know, Mike, I want to bring up, you know, the buses. So we've got 19 tour buses coming to our store this week alone. We just passed 196 tour buses for the year. We're going to have our 1,400th tour bus in October. Now, yesterday I welcomed buses from the Carolinas, Kentucky, Indiana. Today I got Newcastle, Pennsylvania. We've got another great one coming to veterans later. These buses, they're the people that should be, you know, asked at the debate. They love Made in America. They thank us, I mean, with all their heart. There's tears and hugs when they come. They love to see somebody that, you know, stood up for the country, but they also are so sad that, you know, what happened to our country? You know, we're the only Made in America store in the world, and, you know, this. But they do like the disposable income's down. They're spending half as much, absolutely, than they did 4 years ago on a bus. They get on a bus, they take their vacations, but they're on fixed incomes, Mike. They can't afford to buy much at different places, my place and whatnot. They enjoy their meal and, you know, do some sightseeing, and then they get back on their bus. But it's beautiful to talk to them because they love America. And a lot of them, I just said, you know, Marines or, you know, veterans. We always thank our vets. I ask everybody who's a veteran, and we give them a round of applause. I tell them, I don't wait for any holiday to celebrate you. We celebrate you every day. You know, and, you know, but these buses teach me a ton. And if you took the bus people, they don't like what's going on. They don't like what they see on TV. They don't like what they're sold. They love America, you know, and they want to get this thing right. I can talk to Texas people, the people coming over the borders. It's just they see it all. They're bus to old bases, and you hear everything, and it's generally factual, Mike. The demographic on a bus is from 50 to 90 years old, but the women are sharp. You know, I said they should run the country, these older women, you know, the ones that will grab you by that ear. You know, Mike, you know what I'm talking about. You know, so I also had a gentleman that has a store similar to mine, asked me years ago, and he sent me something interesting. You know, people come in the store, they love it, they love everything he's doing, but they don't buy his products as much. And, you know, he said, is that going to help our children? You know, he's like me, you know, this is all about our children's future. It's not about politics, who's a popular vote, you know, and we could talk personalities. It's about who's going to help America. You know, making things in your own country has to happen. It has to be important. I tell them I'm on the boards about four schools. I support skilled trades. Our goal is to get metal shops, wood shops back in schools so these kids can have a purpose. I'm paying $30 to $40 an hour for my skilled trade welders, and they're going to make the money of doctors. It's already happened, Mike. We've made so many mistakes, and they keep watching. They turn these elections into reality TV shows, and it's just crazy to me. I mean, when it comes down to it, Mike, you know, we've lost common sense. But you've got two people to vote for. I'll take the businessman over anybody.
Well, I mean, I'm listening to it, to the people who come through historic Philadelphia. They have a lot of opinions. And all I say is make sure you vote on election day, and we're going to see what the people are going to say on election day. Their voice will be heard when the votes are counted. And I think this will be a better way for us to get a good count. I think more things are being done. You know, I received a very important contact from a person who's been to your store twice, and he told me he worked in the trade school in the Philadelphia area, and he made a very interesting, he laid something out for me, which I liked a lot. He said, Michael, I want to tell you that teachers across America agree with your idea to restore the trades in America's public schools. They want it more than you know, because having your hands-on experience with the trades or any of those types of things that people did in the past really makes strong people. They feel confident that they're getting some experience. The problem that we're experiencing right now in the United States, he told me, he said that there's a major shortage of teachers from first grade to 12th grade, major shortage. In fact, you can go on the internet, he told me, and see that right now there are over 50,000 openings in schools across the United States of America for the classes, he said. So, according to school boards, they say it's hard to find teachers that we're paying for to fill the class 1 to 12. How can we push trades? Now, I sort of don't like that kind of thinking. I think that that should be pushed, number one, because, and he's saying, well, it's very hard to find teachers in the state of Pennsylvania alone right now. We have 2,100 teachers' positions totally vacant as of September. 2,100 teachers. What's happening is they're filling the spots with part-time teachers, substitute teachers, until they're able to bring more teachers to the table. I mean, it's a difficult thing. And he said trade teachers are very difficult to find, but you can bring them in. He's a trade teacher. You can bring them in. And the teachers and the school boards and the parents would be very, very happy to do this. But you have to have government people push it. Government people push nothing when it comes to this. They are worried about security and all this stuff, but they're not worried about the trade program. So as a former trades teacher, he agrees that change has really got to come, but it's going to come only if the political people push the school boards and the parents to make the trades a priority again. I'm pleading with everyone listening to do that. Let everybody know that you're for the trades in our schools, because the people of the past, when they graduated high school, if they didn't want to go to college, they at least had something that they were ready to go to, whether it was electronics or woodwork or whatever. They had something where they could lay their hat, or if they were going to college, they at least had something they can fix their house. They knew what was happening with their own electricity in the house or whatever. That's not happening today because we don't have enough teachers. Now, to get those teachers, you would have to go to private industry and pay those teachers much more than they're making in private industries. That's another thing he said to me, that people are going out of the teaching field because they can make better money and not have the responsibility of making sure homework assignments and all are in there. These are American workers. Teachers are also American workers who stay within the workforce in their community, but they're doing jobs that does not take up so much of their life. A teacher really has to be a person who gives a part of their life to the students, looks out for the well-being. So when we have 50,000 plus openings, we have to start addressing that. That should be addressed also during this, these conventions and all. This should have been on number one, that we're going to do this. Now, he also made a very good suggestion to me, and Mark, and you can spread this word to your people. He said, I believe that we could get people to teach. Those are American workers. He said they could teach if they were given some of their tuition that they paid, if they didn't have grants and stuff, tuition they paid to be teaching in the teaching field that would pay toward their tuition of their college. I said, well, that sounds sensible to me. He said, yes, right now, because they're working teaching at a lower rate and they're still paying their school loans off. He said, talk about these kinds of things, and parents are helping their children, and people go into the teaching field and they say, wow, it's a lot of work and the homework and checking this and parent teachers meetings and, you know, all the. So this is why we have to start having a real administrator take charge of the country. Somebody has to get to the people in the House and the Senate in Washington, not just go there once a year for the annual budget address, but start going there on a regular basis and start talking common sense. I think the people should have a place to send information to the White House, and they should have broadcasts like ours to speak about these common sense issues, because I think politics has taken a negative turn in our country for a number of years, a long, long time. It became like honoring some hierarchy, a king, a queen, you know, a duke or whatever. That's not what America was meant to be. America was supposed to be the leader of the world at all times, no taking a vacation from that. And we have to start talking about it. Foreign people tell us that they have the trades in their schools. It's part of their regular curriculum. You have a choice. You can go to the trade portion of the school, or if you are planning to go to be a doctor, a dentist, a lawyer, you can stay strictly on the regular curriculum. And that's where we missed out in this country. We don't have people. Now, someone else said to me, Bruce, you'll like this. You probably know this. The Republicans introduced a law when they took over the House 2 years ago that said they wanted to overturn the Biden executive order. Till today, a year ago, it's sitting there till today, and nothing's been done. It's on the books that they did it, but nothing's been done because they don't want to anger the president. They don't want to insult the president that he signed. The 330 million people worry about one person and his signature. What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I think it's being done in Congress right now.
Absolutely. Now, do you believe that a president should be a little more vocal coming, you know, into the office? I think a lot of the presidents were great, good public relations people, but now it's time for a president to speak up a little more. Maybe there should be not just a press person standing there every day giving some reports to the press corps, but maybe the president should come out a little more often and speak to the people and answer the questions. We don't see much of that anymore. We haven't seen much of it at all. I don't think that's good. Somebody asks me a question, I give them an answer immediately. What would you do, Bruce?
Well, I think, nothing's going to be done until the election, as far as I'm concerned.
But between now and the election, 48 days to go, I think we, the people, should speak up and say, we want the president to do a weekly press conference and let us know what the president has done, what the president proposes, and what the president is pushing for and hasn't been addressed by the Congress or the Senate. And people should call the Congress and the Senate if they like it this way or that way. What would you agree with that or not?
I agree with that. Yes. Yeah.
I don't think
it's going to happen. Well, I don't think there's much, you and me can, Mark, we can think that what would be right, but I don't think there are a lot of people out there itching to have the president do that.
Well, with the way social media is and all today, people would be better informed about what's trying to be done for the benefit of the American people. I feel 80% of the time should be directed strictly to American businesses, growing in America, promoting the reenactment of the trade programs, let the governors come in and talk about what's happening in their states. They should have more press conferences saying about this happened in Pennsylvania or New Jersey or Texas or Florida or New York on a regular basis. If 5 people watch, at least it's on the record what they're doing. If 500,000 people watch, that's all the better. But it would give the press the availability to cover a lot more positive issues. What's trying to be done here for the American people? I'll tell you, Bruce, majority of the people I speak to are very disappointed that people in Washington have not really addressed the American business, American worker issue in many, many years. Some people tell me point blank, they have no knowledge of it being addressed during Clinton's time, Bush's time, Obama. It was all just, you know, going along with the flow. They tell me that Trump was the only one who pushed America first. I agree with that, because I look back at the other presidents and I don't see that they put this as part of their agenda. Once it goes into effect, the next president should have come in and just continued. If something was good, let it continue. Unfortunately, when President Trump left office, interest rates were low, gas prices were low, things were, people were not coming through the southern border, and then somebody comes in and relaxes all those restrictions. Interest rates go up to 7%. Gas almost doubles in many states. And in Pennsylvania, it went up $1.50 a gallon. Who can afford that? Yet no one in Washington that I speak to says about the inflation and the people and the unaffordability of it. All these kinds of things should have been left alone and not be just an executive order, a snap of the fingers. Oh, I want to do this. This should not be permitted. I'm against executive orders when it comes to this type of thing.
Well, you have to have a constitutional amendment, I think. I don't think that would work.
Presidents, there were presidents that spoke up on a regular basis about issues that they believed in. And this was not the case in the last few years. This was not the case. And I'll tell you why I know. I tried to get some of these things to be brought up in the public. And it was always like, it's taken under consideration. Someone will, direct an answer to you. That was always the way it was. In the past, there was much better responses from, all levels of the people in Washington. It seems that this fear factor, and even in the ads, the television ads for the candidates, it's knocking one another. Is that doing anything for any of us? I want to know what you're really going to do if elected. Now, don't tell me about what you think about the other candidate. I'm not interested. Tell me what you're going to do to make sure the prices get down to where they were 3 years ago. Down the way they were 3 years ago, Bruce? With the price, the right leader, they will go down. Mark, can the prices go down?
Oh, I think so. I mean, I think we're at a new norm. I don't know if we'll see them before, but steel's already, Mike, it hit a peak during COVID, about $1.50 a pound for A36 mild steel. It went to $1.50 a pound, which steel drives the country too. Now it's settled maybe 90 cents to $1.10. So I don't know if we'll see 30 cents a pound or 50 cents a pound, but it is going back down. Mike, I'd like to talk a little bit about that teacher. You were on the teacher and their pay, and it's hard to get teachers. My daughter, just officially, Jesse, became a school teacher this week. She starts Friday. She graduated from Buff State. She's still going for her master's. But she landed a job at a nice rural school. She was subbing, but now she's got a permanent job. But it's incredibly low how much what these teachers get. So I don't know we're always fighting on these budgets, and the teacher starts very low. Now they've got good benefits, but very low. You could make more at a retail store. It's amazing to me, the teacher that's responsible for our number one assets and our children.
That's exactly right.
The administration, there's probably crazy salaries. But the teacher, she's teaching kindergarten to first grade, Mike, so you'd love that. And it's a lot. She gets these 19 kids. She comes home with her tongue out. She's whipped. And I'm like, Jesse, how hard could it be?
Oh, yes. Oh, no.
But she did just start. I'm going through the paperwork yesterday with her. I can't believe how low they start the salary, you know, under 30. It's just crazy to me. And you got to work. It runs on a ladder. But and like you said, with school teacher, if it's industrial arts teachers or, you know, metal shop teachers, wood shops, that's why they can't draw them people in to help teach, because there's no salary for them. And I think that's a shame. We have to rework our education system. And a lot of it's to blame parents, and parents on what we teach. But then we got to work out this, because I know I pay dearly in school taxes. I'm just not sure where that money's going.
But, you know, Mark, you bring up a good point. Where are those dollars going? That's a big question. And today, with all this modern technology, all this social media and all, we should have that identified, go to a source and know exactly. I'll give you an example. What I had a discussion with this teacher. He said, you know, Michael, you can go on Indeed.com, which is a site for looking for jobs, and you can go on there and see what's going on. And then you go into the teaching field. The teaching field pays much less. It's a lot of dedication, and you see what's the difference. And so that's why people who have the desire to teach go into other fields, because there's nothing there that's attracting them. That's why he said to me, if they could give something toward their tuition, their college tuition, you know, that they're not being, you know, killed with paying down their college tuition and teaching the schools and making sure everything is number one, especially if they're getting a high rating from the students and the parents and the school board and all, they should be taken care of. I don't like the fact when people continue to brutalize me that I am not saying enough about the southern border. So I may have to do a show with one other gentleman on another radio show about the southern border before this election. People want to know, how are these people being paid to live in this country? Where are they going? Where is the money coming from to give them health benefits, to give them cards to buy food, you know, rent, all this stuff? Where is that coming from? I see the people here in our own city, the people coming over, they're out begging. Give money, please. Help me, help me. I say, where are you from? Help. They don't even understand what's going on, but they help me. They know that. This is not America. We're bringing, it's just as bad as the fuel energy cut down by that order from the president. We hurt ourselves deeply there. We brought people into the country. Yesterday, we celebrated Citizens Day in addition to National Constitution Day. And we celebrated people who came here legally, went through the process to become legal citizens, while we have 10, 12, 14 million people who came over the border, and no one really can say how they're being paid, how they're paid for. They're not being paid. How they're being paid for, from what government source? Why isn't that source identified? That's why I say a weekly conference, press conference with the president, he's supposed to be our major administrator, asking him questions like, where are those dollars coming from? Nobody's announcing or even addressing where the money's coming from. And I would like to ask the press to ask the president this. What is the root cause of businesses moving out of the United States year after year after year? What is the root cause, Mark?
Ask that again, Mike.
What is the root cause of businesses moving out of the United States year after year?
Well, I think, I mean, there's a lot there, environmental issues, regulation. They need to, we need to support the business here. Like we said, we want 50-50 fair trade. Made in America is a perfect idea. They just need to support the businesses here better. and give better incentives to keep your business here. They just have to make it more business friendly, less regulation, and more understanding. We run the cleanest businesses. You can drink the water coming out of most of the businesses nowadays. It's not us, you know, with the climate change and whatnot. It's most of the other countries. You know, it's great we talk about it, but what about the other countries? China, that's not doing what we do with our pollutants. You know, we're on top of things here, and a problem when they talk about climate change to me is they got to get the other countries on board.
Absolutely. And the thing is, Mark, with what's going on, the world is round. And the pollution from China or others is in our atmosphere also. Although we're doing so much, we've done enormous work in the last 30 years to cut down on all pollution in the United States. Other countries don't follow these types of regulations. So the world is, so the air comes around and it's circulated in America too. It's time for the world to get together, but it's time for America to get together and say, we have to get our jobs back. We have to look at the root cause of why businesses decide to move out of America, had to move out of America because costs, taxes, and everything else were just killing them. They're just totally, I'd like to see those kinds of things discussed at a debate. 85% of what should be at any debate between any candidates here in the United States of America, whether they're running for Congress or Senate, should be only about the United States. That's what you're being elected to do. Be the president of the United States, not the president of the world, the president of the United States. And that's, you know, that's my thinking. Mark, I want to remind everyone again, Mark is one of the people that sells 100% American-made products. And I'm asking you to go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Made in America store link. It's on the right side of the page, right next to Mark's picture. Do support Mark and all of the people that are doing great work here in the United States of America to make sure that we survive this. This is a very bad time for leadership. We got to change this. But once a president is elected, we have to start asking more questions and demanding more answers. Remember, a president is paid to do a job. A president's administration, all of the people they appoint are paid to do a job. And just like any employer, we want what we pay for to be valuable. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11 or next Wednesday at 11, my thanks to Bruce Bassett Powell and Mark Andel, our engineer, Henry Chaplinsky. I thank you, Michael Blihash. God bless you and God bless yours. Remember, please go out and talk about American-made and support American-made products.